Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Today, new research shows the amino acid L-cysteine, that's C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E, can help reverse early onset Alzheimer's disease. This is from Beijing Institute for Brain Disorders. That's important. Anything, any piece of the puzzle that is positive when it comes to helping with any form of dementia or memory loss is constructive. I would suggest 1,000 milligrams, and let's say twice a day, along with vitamin C at the same time. So vitamin C, and most importantly here, the amino acid L-cysteine for Alzheimer's, which is a form of dementia. We also have a lot more on health and healing, including how light, magnetic fields, and ultrasound could help fight COVID. The People's Friendship University of Russia, published in the Journal of Phytochemistry and Photobiology. And we have several other studies beyond that, plus a little more in-depth. I didn't get to it yesterday. I will today about fistin, F-I-S-E-T-I-N. It is a longevity senolict. And some new research by Zach White from Life Extension. I'll share that with you. Also today, now that there is a new administration, and we wish them well, they are telling us right up front, no hiding it, what is on their top list of agenda items. And one of them is more censorship, that it's a good thing, especially when we have so many people saying things that they disagree with and they consider a danger to the public. As a result, there's going to be a whole raft of new laws or executive orders passed, and you start to see it in what they don't tell you. Talking points repeated ad nauseum by all the major media. For example, if you hear every time you turn a channel, the dark winter, the dark winter, the dark winter, or the new reset. They're not saying that because they've done research and find that there's something significant. They're saying it because they've been told to say it. Everyone's been told to say it. That then leads to us being able to be, in a gestalt-like manner, conditioned to accept, oh, this is normal. And then up from the bottom comes the voices of the expert foundations, the think tanks. Today, most of those are coming from the CIA, National Security Agency, like Brennan and Clapper, but also people like Gloria Nuland and people within former administrations who are now back, and they're simply carrying forward. So because they have an appearance on television, we assume, especially on a liberal channel like CNN or MSNBC or NBC, that it must be true, that these people have been vetted for objectivity. None of that is the case. Do you remember when you used to hear Glenn Greenwald and Chris Hedges, Abby Martin and others, Max Blumenthal, on those same channels? And then they did something extraordinary. They told the truth. They couldn't tell the truth unless they looked for the truth. They found the truth, and unfortunately that truth went in just the opposite direction at the talking points. And so they began to be shunned, and then completely excluded, then attacked. So Glenn Greenwald today, on this program, I'm going to share his latest article, and it's entitled The New Domestic War on Terror is Coming. No speculation needed, quote, those who wield power are demanding it. The only question is how much opposition will they encounter? So let me be clear of what he is saying, and a lot of others. Chris Hedges is saying, and by the way, you'll hear both Chris Hedges and Glenn Greenwald on this program tomorrow discussing this very issue. Two of the most formidable liberal progressive minds on the planet, and two of the most honest, diligent journalists. They will also are in the same alignment with Matt Taibbi, who also has joined them on this issue. So why is it that these three are all in alignment and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists, and yet all the other journalists are saying they're wrong? So this is the beginning of what will be the most formidable attack against our freedoms of choice, freedoms of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of belief in American history, dwarfing McCarthyism in the 1940s and early 50s. So we'll just share some views. Then I'm going to have time for you to call in and share your points of view. And I hope that you call in not as a defender of any ideology, but rather a person who is interested in common sense reason and the nature of freedom as an authentic challenge to a totalitarian mindset. So that's coming at you. And also, in just after health and nutrition, I'm going to play you a clip. Remember yesterday I played you a clip of the actual person speaking about the weaponization, but not the, let's not call it the weaponization. Let's call it gain of function enhancement of the coronavirus, acknowledging, and it was being done at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where he was working with a person that he had funded there and working with a person that had been funded at the University of North Carolina. So we no longer have a smoking gun. We have absolute statements. That's continuing today because we're going to have a person that was on this program this last week on Monday. Now, of course, he's being attacked that his facts are wrong. No, they're not. But he has something more to add that he has discovered. So we're going to have a short 4-minute clip of something new. He is calling it the Fauci dossier. Again, if you'd like to call in and give your thoughts, good. So we have a lot to share with you. And let me just give two numbers that you should always have. Write them down. One is if you're somewhere in America or in Canada and you can't hear the show live and you're not at a computer, you can just go to your cell phone. You can call this number and you can hear the program Monday to Friday, noon to 1 Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday 7 to 8. Write this number down, please, 774-337-6033. Again, 774-337-6033. But most people listen to this program on the archive, so write down the archival number, 641-793-9592. 641-793-9592. Tell you an interesting statistic. I don't know what it is today, but all over the world, most people don't listen live. They listen in by cell phones and frequently archive, but they don't listen to a television station or radio station, I should say. They listen over telephone. And some of the largest groups of people listening are in Africa, where they have their cell phone, where the signal for a radio station might not reach them, the cell phone does. And I was told that we are in the top 10 listened to in the world over this cell phone. Interesting. So all the more reason to have that. So no matter where you're at, you can always be in touch. Now to the latest on health and healing. So I told you that the amino acid L-cysteine, and by the way, people who have herpes outbreaks frequently taking a lot of that with vitamin C and quercetin. I was advocating that for the people I was counseling who had herpes back in the 1970s. And I would even advocate more. Today, I would suggest intravenous vitamin C because at a certain dosage, you can actually knock it out of the body completely. But it takes consistency. But by mouth, it can turn off a herpes outbreak very quickly, stop it within hours. But you have to take enough of it to make a difference. But it's a strong antiviral also. So it's a part of any antivirus regimen, for example, for cold or flu or COVID. And generally, I won't tell you how much to take, but it's a lot more than the bottle recommends. Generally, at 1,000 to 5,000 milligrams for a herpes outbreak, 3 times a day for 2 or 3 days. But for Alzheimer's, I would make sure I took 500 milligrams in the morning and 500 milligrams in the afternoon or evening, along with other nutrients that are known to help the brain turn off inflammation, including quercetin and vitamin C. So that's the first story up. Now, the second story is about light and magnetic field and ultrasound. a team of researchers from the university, the People's Friendship University in Russia, found that restoring normal levels of lymphocytes in patients with COVID-19 and other viral diseases by subjecting them to a combination of light therapy, a magnetic field, there's your magnetic healing. And by the way, they lead the world in researching healing impacts of magnets. Years ago, it's out of print, but years ago there was a book I wrote on magnetic healing. It was interesting because I contacted the FDA and I asked their opinion. What do you know, or what is in the literature that you have found about magnets and healing? They said nothing. There is no research. I had 500 scientific references alone just from Russia. That was just Russia. There were thousands of studies on magnets. And I was interested because a gentleman came into the office one day. His name was Dr. Robert, and he had a machine. It was the size of a suitcase. It was looked like an aluminum shell. And he opened it up, and it was a computer. And it gave the frequency of modulation and the intensity. And he said that with this machine, he had been able to save countless lives down in Texas, in the quarter horse capital of the world, which is about, at that time, it was only about 20 minutes from my ranch, the Healing Springs Ranch in Tioga, Texas. It was near Garland and that area. In any case, he said that generally when a horse would fracture a leg, they would put him down. But he would go in there and he would tape the magnets onto the leg and use this every day, and it would heal the leg. It would recombine the cells in the bone, in the bone marrow, and the horse didn't have to be put down. He actually told me the story how the Black Stallion, that was a series of movies, the horse was on a beach and broke its leg, and instead of putting it down, used this therapy and it worked. So I said the next time I'm down there, since you know I have a lot of horses, 23 horses, that I had inherited from the person I bought the ranch from. And unfortunately, they were almost dead. They couldn't even get up off the ground. They were just bones. The vet came, nice guy. He said, it'll take me an hour. I'll put them all down. And I said, no, I don't euphonize animals. He said, well, it's not possible to save these animals. I appreciate your concern, but they're on my property. I'm responsible for them. Let's see what I can do. So John Q and some friends who were down there after I'd bought the property, this is 1989, and the place was a mess. And I'd later tear down everything and start and build everything from scratch using natural materials. But we went out there and I would make combination. First thing you saw that hundreds of red ant bites all over their body, scorpion bites, ant bites. They were in chronic pain. So I showed them how to make a combination of elements that would destroy the red ant mounds, got rid of those, put all the horses on blankets, and then pulled them out of the sun because they couldn't stand up. Literally, they couldn't stand up. And they couldn't even raise their heads. And then I called my brother, who's an animal whisperer, and I said, you got to get down here. And he was on a plane that day, got down there. And so where he did his animal magic, what can I call it? I've never seen anyone do with animals what Howard could do. I saw him walk right out into wild buffalo, not tame, wild, stand right in front of the gigantic male, leading the herd of 57 buffalo, and reach out and put his hand on the buffalo's head, and the buffalo just went right slowly down to the ground. Howard laid down beside him with his head on this buffalo's back. Don't try that, friends. You don't want to do that. If you don't have that energy connection, dog whisperers, horse whisperers, the whisperers do, and he had that. In any case, while he was doing what he does, I was making giant formulas, and I had everything shipped in because I had nothing there, and I was making gallon upon gallon. In fact, we hired a local person just to come in every day, and I gave her the formula. This older woman, I said, just make these and keep them coming. How many? How about 10 gallons an hour? For how many hours? Every hour of the day. And then have at least 20 gallons for overnight. And none of these people had ever seen anything like this before. But we would just hold the horse's head and put the big bottle, it was a half-gallon bottle with big rubber nipple, into its mouth and gently put the fluid in and pet the neck. And it took maybe 3 weeks before they were gaining weight and getting their energy back. And we put a special salve that I made upon their wounds. And within 3 months, they were all healthy. 6 months, they were back to normal weight. I'm talking about 700, 800 pounds. Some 18-hand horse is a big horse. And they were up around 900 pounds. When we found them, I'm guessing they were around 200 pounds. I've never seen anything like it. Anyhow, he came in, and he used his magnets on two of these, on the legs, where they were fractured from just, I guess, extreme osteoporosis, and it healed it. Healed the legs. You would never tell. And so that got my attention. And it was based upon magnets. He had figured out, no one else had, he was the first to do this, how to magnetize a pulse based upon what the body needed. Another thing he created was your magnetic field in different organs. And so we tried it, and it really worked. That was a long time ago. At the same time, there was a medical doctor out west named Philpott, and he was using magnetics, little plates. They look like, maybe 6 inches, 5 inches long, maybe a half inch thick, and about 3 inches wide. And you would put those in a little wooden slots and put it at the base of your head. And hundreds of people had depression and anxiety disorders, saying just by sleeping with this magnetic plates behind you, it relieved their symptoms. There was no studies done on it. It was just anecdotal. I'm just giving that as a little background, because if you research how much is now known about and how sophisticated the magnetic therapies are, they're really good. And this was published in a major peer-reviewed journal, the Journal of Photochemistry and Photobiology. So with light therapy, and again, light therapy is one of the hottest anti-aging therapies in the world. It also helps people with multiple sclerosis, helps people with Alzheimer's, helps people with Parkinson's, helps people with ALS. I've seen this. I've interviewed hundreds of hours with Dr. Barnes and others, Dr. Saputo and others who are using it. But again, it gets no attention because it's not expensive and it's non-invasive. It's not a medication. It's simply a wavelength of different light hitting the body. And by hitting the body and the circuitry in the body and the central nervous system, those light beams stimulate a healing energy throughout the body. And you can see it. For example, visualize a computer that's a monitor. And you first take a picture of the body and you see all of the problems in the body. All right? Then you take 20 minutes on light therapy, and suddenly all that's gone. Now, you have to use it maybe 10, 15, 20, 30 times, but I know people flying out to San Francisco, paying a lot of money, to be there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks to get the therapy and coming back with their diseases reversed. Not a word anywhere. It's not being used all over the place, but it does work. So I just want to share that with you. So that's the basis of light and magnetic therapy, and then they also used ultrasound. And it really made a difference in the asymptomatic COVID patients. And to effectively fight coronavirus with drugs and therapeutic methods, scientists, medics have to find out what causes these differences in the course of the disease. And a team of scientists from the university, together with their colleagues from the International Radiant Life Technologies, suggested that the reason might lie in the gradual depletion and death of lymphocytes due to aging and chronic disease and stress. And so that's what they studied. It was the immunopathology caused by COVID-19. You start seeing in people, the brain starts deteriorating, the heart starts being adversely affected, the lungs are affected. And so they thought, what can we do to change this? So the Department of Immunology and Allergy at the Institute of Medicine at the university put up this study, worked upon what is called bioenergetics, one word, bioenergetic. And it's often used in physics and adepts also to some of the ideas of biofields and alternative medicine. However, in fundamental science, it means a field of knowledge about energy exchange within living systems and between them with the environment. So having studied the immune cells of coronavirus patients, scientists found a correlation between bioenergetics, bioenergetic and immune system reactions. For example, to develop an adequate immune response, activated T lymphocytes require dozens of times more energy to remain in their regular state. However, when a body's energy reserves are depleted, stress, trauma, toxic environment, toxic relationships, toxic food, let's say toxic bacteria, then the T lymphocytes cannot function properly and the levels of exhaustion markers increase from their minimum in the asymptomatic periods to the maximum when a patient is admitted to ICU. In severe cases, the lymphocyte count decreases substantially. So it's all about building up the immune system, especially your lymphocyte count, from very reduced to very high, and that strengthens your immune system, and that helps your body. And they do this with bioenergetics. It's that simple. A little complicated to understand, but it's simple in that way. And also from Aarhus University in Denmark, they found that our psychological well-being follows the rise and fall of the infection rate. But whereas psychological well-being fell most for women during the spring lockdown, it's men who are hardest hit during the second wave. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And your guess could be as good as anyone else's. But one thing is clear. Men and women both have suffered severe bouts of depression, apathy, a sense of helplessness when they lose their job and sometimes their career. Also, they can't make their bills on time, can't pay them, and they're food insecure, and they have children. Just imagine one toxic episode after another until it finally just breaks the spirit. So no one's looking in the government at the impact of these damn lockdowns, this most stupid, irresponsible, and scientifically untenable way of dealing with this. So it's taking a toll. It's just that toll, and the people who are the victims have not been brought forward, so you can hear their stories. I'm Gary Noll. We're 23 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to play a short clip. Now, the clip I'm going to play is Dr. David Martin, who was on the show on Monday, and he's going to read a short clip proving that people knew what they were doing and how profitable it would be if they controlled the media and got the media, which they totally control, the mainstream media, even the alternative media, to keep banging the pandemic. No one can challenge it, no matter what your science or truth or reality. And then it'll be profitable, very, very profitable. So you should hear this, and you will, in just a moment.
To move this like I have. I've actually put it in front of the Office of the Inspector General. I've put it in front of the Attorney General of the United States. We all need to do it. Because if we're going to get the criminals stopped, we actually have to put it in front of people who can do that. You can't hire a lawyer and get this thing done. You're going to have to be engaged with the process. But I wanted to start with a couple things, and I'm just going to highlight a couple things in the dossier. We're not going to go through this whole thing, but I wanted to read you something that just was one of those moments where I read to Kim a couple days ago, and she goes, "What? They actually said that?" And I said, "Yeah." Under the section which we have under 18 U.S. Code, subsection 2339, funding and conspiring to commit acts of terror, I wanted to read you this. This is actually very interesting. By March 2015, both the virulence of the S1 spike protein and the ACE2 receptor was known to present considerable risk to human health. NIAID, EcoHealth Alliance, and numerous researchers lamented the fact that the public was not sufficiently concerned about coronavirus to adequately fund their research. In other words, you weren't scared enough to fund research that shouldn't have been being done in the first place. And here you go. This is the quote, and I just want you to let this sink in, right? Let this sink in. Dr. Peter Daszak of EcoHealth Alliance offered the following assessment, and I'm going to read the assessment just as it was written because I couldn't make it worse. Daszak reiterated that until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at an emergency threshold, it is often largely ignored. Now listen to this. To sustain the funding base beyond crisis, he said, we, quote, need to increase public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. I hate to tell you this, people. This is 2013 to 2015. This is not a few days ago. And here's the kicker. A key driver is the media, and the economics follow the hype. Quote, the economics follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process.
People's lives.
You know, people ask me, is it a conspiracy theory? It's a conspiracy. The organizer, funded by NIAID, funded by Anthony Fauci, made the statement, we need the media to hype the fear, and investors will follow the hype.
And profits are made.
We have to use the hype to our advantage. That sounds like public health, doesn't it? It sounds like just promoting the well-being of
investors.
People, I mean, this is the kind of stuff you're going to find in this dossier. Yes. Section 35 U.S. Section 101, violation of law. We've talked about this many times. The thing that fact checkers and USA Today, bless their hearts, they try, don't they? They really do. And PolitiFact try. They try so hard to make me look wrong. And the problem with their fact checking is they don't know how to use public records. Because if they looked at public records, they would find out that not only has everything I've ever said about the CDC's patent on coronavirus been true, but worse than that, in the actual written record, which I know it takes time because you have to go through multiple pages of PDFs, you actually find out that in the first non-final rejection that was done in September of 2006, the patent office themselves agreed with Dave Martin.
Ooh.
They agreed with me, not with USA Today, not with CNN,
not with
PolitiFact, not with any of the fact checkers. They actually agreed with me because they actually said that illegally the CDC was seeking to patent something that they had already published on April 14th, on April 18th, and on April 21st. And by the way, two publications on April 18th. In other words, the CDC illegally sought to patent something after they had already made it public domain, which is the reason why their lie, which came out in 2007, which is the thing that USA Today and PolitiFact and others want to use to say, well, the CDC was just trying to do their job. They were just trying to make sure coronavirus is available for the public to use for research. If it weren't a lie, I could actually kind of go along with it and go, maybe they got it wrong. But they didn't. They're actually lying because CDC actually overruled the illegal finding by the patent examiner themselves and paid your taxpayer dollars to make sure that they got the patent determination of illegality overruled in 2007 so that they could actually own the genome of SARS coronavirus. So stuff it, PolitiFact. Stuff it, Facebook. You're wrong. Now, I want you to run a fact check on your fact and actually say, False and misleading information, because you're lying. And you're lying to the public every time you fact check my statement. Look it up, read it, and weep. All in the dossier.
Yeah, boom.
How do I feel about that?
Go, Davo.
Oh, by the way, wait till you see.
And that's just the beginning. This is a guy who's formidable. He had the courage to come out and share his research on our program, and he is probably America's most knowledgeable expert on patents, and he has all of the research. And they're not going to win in any debate with him, but he's showing that the CDC, Anthony Fauci's group, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, they patented the coronavirus. Why? They sponsor gain of research, making it more potent. Why? And now he has this, the man who's getting all the money, the man who the World Health Organization said should inspect the lab in Wuhan, the Wuhan Viral Institute, and see if there was anything there that they should know. He was the one who was financing it all. Gross conflict of interest. None of the American media will touch that. None of the people in the administration will touch that. That's how we're being played. Now to Glenn Greenwald. I'm going to quote him verbatim. The new domestic war on terror is coming. Quote, the last 2 weeks have ushered in a wave of new domestic police powers and rhetoric in the name of fighting terrorism that are carbon copies of many of the worst excesses of the first war on terror that began nearly 20 years ago. This trend shows no sign of receding as we move farther from the January 6th Capitol riot. The opposite is true. It is intensifying. We have witnessed an orgy of censorship from Silicon Valley monopolies with calls for far more aggressive speech policing, a visibly militarized Washington, D.C. featuring non-ironically named green zones, vows from the incoming president and his key allies for a new anti-domestic terrorism bill, and frequent accusations of sedition, treason, and terrorism against members of Congress and citizens. This is all driven by a radical expansion of the meaning of incitement to violence. It is accompanied by viral on social media pleas that one work with the FBI to turn one's fellow citizens in and demands for a new system of domestic surveillance. Underlying all of this are immediate insinuations that anyone questioning any of this must, by virtue of these doubts, harbor sympathy with the terrorists or their neo-Nazis, white supremacist ideologies. Liberals have spent so many years now in a tight alliance with neocons and the CIA, they are making the 2002 version of John Ashcroft's look like the president of the old school ACLU. The more honest proponents of this new domestic war on terror are explicitly admitting that they want to model it on the first one. A New York Times reporter on Monday that a, quote, former intelligence official on PBS NewsHour said that the U.S. should think about a 9/11 commission for domestic extremism and consider applying some of the lessons from the fight against al-Qaeda here at home. More amazingly, General Stanley McChrystal, for years head of Joint Special Operations Command in Iraq and the commander of the war in Afghanistan, explicitly compared that war to this new one, meaning on American citizens. Quote, I did see a similar dynamic in the evolution of al-Qaeda in Iraq, where a whole generation of angry Arab youth with very poor prospects following a powerful leader who promised to take them back in time to a better place, and he led them to embrace an ideology that justified their violence. This is now happening in America. I think we are much further along in this radicalization process and facing a much deeper problem as a country than most Americans realize, end quote. Anyone who, despite all this, still harbors lingering doubts that the Capitol riot is and will be the neoliberal 9/11 and that a new war on terror is being implemented in its name need only watch the two short video clips that he posted, which will clear their doubts for good. It's being catapulted by an unholy time machine back to Paul Wolfowitz's 2002 messaging jab. The first video, flagged by Tom Elliott, is from Monday morning's Morning Joe program on MSNBC. the show that arguably did more to help Donald Trump become the GOP nominee than any other. It features Jeremy Bash, one of the seemingly countless employees of TV news networks who previously worked for Obama's CIA and the Pentagon, demanding that in response to the Capitol riot, quote, we reset our entire intelligence approach, looking at greater surveillance of them, adding the FBI is going to have to run confidential sources. See if you detect any differences between what CIA operatives and neocons are saying in 2002 when demanding the Patriot Act and greater FBI and National Security Agency surveillance and what the CIA official turned NBC News analyst is saying. The second video features the amazing declaration from former Facebook security official Alex Stamos talking to a very concerned CNN host, Brian Stelter, about the need for social media companies to use the same tactics against U.S. citizens as they used to remove ISIS from the Internet. In a moment of unintended candor, Stamos noted the real problem, quote, there are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger audience than people on daytime CNN. And it's time for CNN and other mainstream outlets to seize the monopoly on information, disseminating to which they are divinely entitled by taking away the platforms of those whom people actually want to watch and listen. Calls for a War on Terror sequel, a domestic version complete with surveillance and censorship, are not confined to ratings-deprived cable hosts and ghouls from the security state. The Wall Street Journal reports that, quote, Mr. Biden has said he plans to make a priority of passing a law against domestic terrorism, and he has been urged to create a White House post overseeing the fight against ideologically inspired violent extremists and increasing funding to combat them, end quote. Meanwhile, Congressman Adam Schiff, not just one of the most dishonest members of Congress, but also one of the most militaristic and authoritarian, has had a bill proposed since 2019 to simply amend the existing foreign anti-terrorism bill to allow U.S. government to invoke exactly the same powers at home against domestic terrorists. Why would such new terrorism law be needed in a country that already imprisons more of its citizens than any other country in the world as the result of a very aggressive set of criminal laws? What acts should be criminalized by new domestic terrorism laws that are not already being deemed criminal? They never say, almost certainly because, just as was true for the first set of new war on terror laws, their real aim is to criminalize that which should not be criminal. Free speech, free association, protests, opposition to the new ruling coalition. The answer to this question, which needs to be criminalized, that it is not already a crime, scarcely seems to matter. Media and political elites have placed as many Americans as they can, and it's a lot, into full-blown fear and panic mode. And when that happens, people are willing to acquiesce to anything claimed necessary to stop that threat, as the first war on terror, still going strong 20 years later, previously proved. There's more to the article, but you get the message. Now, here's what we do know. That all of the media yesterday were talking points. That's what you got to look for, because I tell you they're all giving the same sermon. They're beating the drums. That if you go against anything on COVID, you are a danger and you're spreading hate speech, which makes you a domestic terrorist. If you're anti-vaccine or pro-vaccine but question this vaccine, maybe you have an autoimmune condition and choose not to have it because the studies are showing that older people with autoimmune conditions are dying and being adversely affected. You're now a domestic terrorist. If you believe that, for example, 5G represents a possible threat to people in its wavelength bandwidth, you're a domestic terrorist. If you challenge genetically modified food, you could be labeled a domestic terrorist. If you believe that any of the agencies of government are not being held accountable, you could be a domestic terrorist. You see, they can put anything in this. And just imagine, have they already done it? They did it with whistleblowers. Who did it? Joe Biden and Barack Obama. Did they invade countries and undermine people and cause millions of people to be either injured, exposed to depleted uranium, or killed and tens of millions had to leave where they had lived for all their century, all the decades of their life. Yes, they did. Did anyone say, hey, let's go over there, CNN, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, all of you in the White House that caused that Libya to be destroyed, that represented no threat, but it represented a hope for all the nations of all the countries of Africa, and we destroyed it. Now it's a complete terrorist state. And take a look at what you created. No, we don't do that. We only show what we want to show, and we control the media, so you're only going to have one story, one power, one direction, and everybody else. But what if you're a good liberal? What if you've been a good unionist? What if you've been a doesn't matter. You say anything that represents a potential threat to the status quo, you're a domestic terrorist. So if you thought spying on us, which was illegal, and Clapper lied about being that we were all spied upon, was never held accountable, AT&T facilitated that for him, and Obama forgave all that, imagine how much they're going to be looking into everything you've ever done, said, read. So are you concerned about this, or do you just think this is a new normal thing and we should have more surveillance? You should have no free speech. There should be no BAI. We should take this station off the air because there are too many people on BAI having free speech. How dare they, local terrorists? Call the FBI. Tell them to listen in. And should the program director of BAI, Linda Perry, should she be put under house arrest? After all, the National Defense Authorization Act, which still exists, which Obama created, you can be arrested without charge. You can spend the rest of your life or be killed on directions to present without consequences. You have no right to know who you're being accused by or what you've done wrong, and you have no opportunity to hire an attorney to protect you. Do you realize that kind of draconian law exists? Well, it does, and now they're going to add a lot more to it. Welcome to the new regime. Your turn. Let's hear what you have to say. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I just told you what Glenn Greenwald, by the way, who has been one of the most outspoken liberal and progressive journalists. He is joined by Glenn Ford of the Black Agenda Report and Nellie Bailey. They are joined by Chris Hedges, Abby Martin, and Max Blumenthal, and probably 500 others. They're all now targets. So what's going to happen one day when you wake up and there's not a single site, not Truthdig, not Consortium News, not none of the current 120, there were over 500, they've already erased all but about 100, when no site exists because they're deemed they share hate speech? And the average person won't know what that means, but a guest said, good, I'm glad you got rid of them. What will happen when you have no counterpoint, when there won't be a Dr. Brown to share a point of view because he opened up a page book he wasn't supposed to open, because now if he makes it news, then someone in the media is going to have to look at it. And, of course, the first thing they're going to do is try to show he's wrong. That's what they're doing with all the medical doctors and all the scientists all over the world who have come forward to say how we're handling the COVID-19 is just wrong at every level. What happens when you only have one voice, the official voice, and nothing else? What happens if you only have one program on health? The McDonald program. Good eating every day for under a buck. Yeah. What about Gary Nall? Gary Nall. Oh, no. No, we can't have that information. Misinformation, unscientific. How do we know? Well, we've erased all the information that anyone who's ever challenged has put up there. You can only go up there and find out why hamburgers and pickles and salt and iceberg lettuce are good for you. In fact, bacon, good for you, good for your heart. What about the holistic cardiologists? Well, they lost their license to practice medicine. Quacks. Shame on them. I see. What would be the best way of preventing cancer? Chemotherapy, tamoxifen. What about heart disease? Statins, of course, and aspirins. What about depression and anxiety? Prozac, Zoloft. Hey, we're on your side. Oh, thank God. I'm glad someone is. Back in a moment, with, if you've called in, we'll be happy to take your calls and put you up, see what you think. If not, then I'm going to go to a short piece. I want to see how much time we have here. No, I'm going to need 13 minutes for the really good, one of the best motivational speeches. I'll do that tomorrow. I want to, McRaven has shared with us. I saw it and I was really moved by it. But there's a short piece here on excess mortality. And mind you, this is another mainstream, regular, board-certified physician who started to look at the facts around COVID and found out none of it made sense. And then this person compared what was being told to the actual figures. And she's dealing, starting, she's got like 20 of these. And she's starting with excess mortality, excess deaths. Can she find them? Nope. Why not? You heard what she has to say. But you have a chance to talk back now. 888-874-4888. Do you really think they're going to allow any Pacifica station to exist? At least those on the station who still have a free mind and believe in freedom of speech, even though there's many people who are challenged by that or any other source? No, once they start their scorched earth process, and since they control the message and the media and the all levers of power, it doesn't matter how liberal, how progressive you are. Anything you say, any proof you have that challenges the status quo will be considered. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Noll. I've written three articles posted on PRN.fm just this week, all completely scholarly vetted, legally vetted, so you can use them with confidence that they are accurate. We do not engage in any ideology, any politic. It's just the facts. Look for the truth wherever it is and have the courage to share it. That's all we ask of people. I'm going to go to one of our callers now, Jeremiah from Harlem. Your turn, Jeremiah.
How are you today, Gary? I'm here in on West 4th Street in the Village in New York City. I'm listening to what you're saying, and it's very moving. I really want to thank you for all the work that you've been doing and all of the guests that you've had, and I just can't believe what's come upon us. And one thing is so strange about what's happening now, almost as if a spell has been cast over society. People I know who were astute, critical thinkers have simply removed their thinking caps. And I notice people are strangely emotional. They're lashing out at each other. And, you know, it's palpable. It's really strange. When people are chastised, they're labeled as conspiracy theorists, as quacks, as whatever you want to call us, for asking really, really logical questions. Logical questions like, if a pregnant woman shouldn't take the COVID vaccine, maybe a woman shouldn't. And if a woman shouldn't, maybe a person shouldn't. Or if the COVID vaccine killed 29 elderly people or may be connected to the deaths of 29 elderly people in Norway, in a matter of days, well, maybe it won't kill me as a younger person, but maybe it's harmful. Is that not a fair question? And it's just unbelievable how people will jump on you and attack you and start with the name calling for asking questions that are patently logical. You know, there was people who participated in the trials who apparently experienced Bell's palsy, and then early vaccine recipients received Bell's palsy. And someone with total confidence in what they were saying said, well, Bell's palsy is not so bad. At least it's better than dying of COVID. Really? They said, we don't know about the long-term side effects, but we have to deal with what we're facing in the present. Is that your strategy, your philosophy of health? We don't think long-term. I thought health was all about longevity and wellness in the long-term. So that's what I have to say today, Gary. I just want to thank you. And I don't know what we're going to do here, but we have to break the spell.
We're doing all that we can in a positive way, keeping constructive in our thought that there's not just a few of us. There's not just a couple. There are tens of millions of us. Now, that doesn't even include Trump's 74 million people who voted for him. And probably 80% of the people who voted for him don't even like him. It was a protest vote. And they're not even acknowledging that. And so now they want to make all 74. There's even calls now to have a special list made of all of Trump's voters and to put security on all 74 million people. How is that conciliation? You know, the irony of it is Biden won. Okay, whether he won 100% legitimately or not, or whether by keeping Hunter Biden's expose of his dirty dealings with China and other, I think, 14 other countries off the table so nobody could look at them, whether that influenced or not. We do know for a fact that everything anti-Trump was allowed, everything pro-Trump was disallowed on the Internet. And so that means that these tech titans had enormous control over the outcome of the election. But even set that aside for a moment. When you have a victory, show humility, show appreciation, and don't just give some false rhetoric of working together. Actually show it by deed. And none of that. It's just the opposite. So what do you think is going to happen when you tell people, we're coming after you, you're an enemy, we're going to make laws, and we're going to take away your rights, we're going to put you under surveillance? 74 million people, at a certain point, you've heard me say this before, we will not go to the streets, we the people of the United States, against any tyranny, until we're in so much pain, we have to. You put 74 million of Trump voters in that kind of predicament, it is inevitable that people who are part of the Biden mindset are going to feel that they can punish in any punitive manner they want by words or by accusations, all of these people, labeling them all as redneck, racist, you know, crazy nuts. And yeah, he had a percentage, about 6%. But what about all the rest? What about them? You get into a fight with those people, you will lose that fight and you will cause a cultural war that will dwarf the consequences of the Civil War, and it will cause a division that will never heal. We need healing at this time. Take your victory lap, but don't, as you run around the track, smack everyone who you beat in the face. It is lacking a spiritual, a humanistic notion of what victory means. And set Trump aside. He's out of it. He's gone. All of his stupidity, his vulgarity, his excesses of narcissism and intellectual deficiency, that's gone. You're dealing with a group of people. Do you want to unite the people again, or do you want to keep them separated? And then ask, who profits from the separation? Who profits from this divide? Who profits from putting people against each other? How do they benefit? And there's so many people benefiting, because who do you think is going to run all these private agencies, all of the intelligence groups to look into everyone's background, to monitor them? This is where hundreds of thousands of the politically connected Washington insiders come out and they get the contracts. That's why we have wars. That's why. And Biden's, one of his first acts is to acknowledge the person who is the undermining democracy in Venezuela. He is acknowledged as the real president by Biden and his people. No, I mean, I don't know if you know anything about Guaido's coup. He tried to commit a coup with the CIA and the State Department behind him, and they didn't succeed. And so we've encouraged deadly sanctions against Venezuela. So when you see people in Venezuela who are starving, they weren't starving. The poor especially weren't starving with Hugo Chavez, but we didn't have control over his oil. And now we want control over the oil. We don't give a damn about the people, but we care about the oil. Well, what about those of us who care about those people and care about our interference? So now we have the idea that we're not a good neighbor. We have an interference intervention policy, and now it's on steroids. Remember, who was the most important person in Congress advocating in a position of absolute power, who was the head of the Foreign Affairs Committee, who said yes to weapons of mass destruction allows us to go in? That was Joe Biden. A whole lot more where that came from, I can assure you. So we're not into the first few days of conciliation, forgiveness, and cooperation, and we should be. It's time for more mature, wiser people to guide, and those are people who have been silent who must come forward. We have millions of them. Let them lead the way with their enlightenment. Thank you very much for your call, and we're out of time. I'll save this other segment for you for tomorrow. I'll put two segments on tomorrow that are really, really inspirational and good. You'll like to hear them. But also this new, she's a brand new face. I want you to hear her. I believe she is either from New Zealand or England. But boy, does she nail the facts when she says there is no excess mortality. And she has all the charts, all the official charts, and she shows you the spikes, and she shows you why there were spikes from overtreatment, including high doses of hydroxychloroquine into the thousands of milligrams, far in excess of anything that would ever benefit anyone. 200, 400 milligrams, it stops it. Oh, and by the way, a judge also, just before we go, a judge upstate New York interceded and demanded a hospital that had a 80-year-old woman who was in the ICU on a respirator, and she was given ivermectin, and she was able to get off the respirator, regain her health, went to another part of the hospital, and there they refused to give her ivermectin. And so she declined again, and the judge had to intercede, and now she's back on ivermectin, and she's regaining her health. That's just one of the examples. What if she would have had ivermectin at home before she was sick? So there's so much that we're going to learn in the upcoming days. Have a nice day, everyone.